9:00, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Are there any changes? Oh, first make a motion to approve the agenda. Moved by Counselor Gidney, seconded by Counselor Romero. Are there any additions to that? Not all those in favor of the agenda? We do not have any presentations today. Are there anyone wishing to table an agenda, table a petition? Prior to public question comment session, I remind you that we are being recorded. Speak loudly, and please remember to turn off any phone devices that you may have. Public comment question period. Please provide your name and civic address. The intent of that is that it goes to the bottom of this year's budget, so yes.
That's a good thing. And the other thing here, I noticed you're going to be discussing the possibility of evening meetings. Just a comment there, I know I was involved a number of years ago, and even since then, quite a few times as far as getting additional people over, that's what we're looking at in the gallery. It didn't work. And also, you have to take into consideration where councils have to commute from all across the region, the weather conditions in the winter and so on. Anyway, I just wanted to make those comments.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor, councilors. Just noticed this morning.
We know who you are, but we just need it for a record. Name and civic address, please.
160 Church Street.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. Just noticed this morning that they done Jubilee Street, done a beautiful job on it. But I did notice this morning one thing wasn't put back like it should have been. There's no signs down at the end of the street to turn left or right. And I know that can cause quite a confusion. I tried it myself.
Thank you. That was intentional. The thought was that sign was not needed, so it's no longer there. So legally, you can make a left or a right at this point in time. And it will be monitored and determined if it can remain that way.
Yeah, I know from experience that worked. It costs too much money.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. 6.1. Approval of the regular council meetings held November 10th, 2020.
Omission.
Moved by...
No, there's an omission.
There is an omission?
Yes.
Can you let us know what it is?
Sure. After the... I brought to council that the board members had received an email on November 5th stating that the board being discontinued. It was not voted on. That comment is not in the minutes. I think it should be in there. And then your response also is not in the minutes.
That was
on page 8.
Page 8. received communication from constituents? Or how would you, what would you?
Board members received an email on November 5th, stating board being discontinued, but we had not voted on it yet.
Board members received an email November 5th. Board had been expanded. The matter was not yet at council.
Right, exactly.
Recording secretary Watson, do you have that? Have that addition made? Are there any other errors or omissions? If not, Councilor Clancy?
I'm just trying to think how, it's mayor, I just wondered how you want to be addressed, mayor. If we wanted to add that, then too, we would have to, we should say that the binders were asked for also.
Board members received an email November 5th respecting board had been disbanded and they were to return.
The binders.
Your binders. We're just gonna add that to that.
Wasn't actually in the same conversation, but was all part of it.
Okay. So we'll just say it was also noted that. Is there a motion to approve the minutes as amended? Moved by Councilor Brown, seconded by Councilor Hawks, that the minutes be approved as amended. All those in favor signify by raising your hand. Contrary, passed. Approval of the public hearing held November 10th. Is there a motion to approve the?
Yes.
Moved by Councilor Gidney, seconded by Councilor Charlton, that the minutes be approved as presented. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Contrary. Actually, it wasn't signified by saying aye. Right. Nothing to approve, nothing to report on dangerous and unsightly. No report from economic development at this point in time. 9.7, corporate services. CAO McNeil. You'll notice 9.1, this is a yearly, for those new counselors, this is a yearly thing that the province does. It submits, well, this is for paying for last year's.
No.
No, it does not. So, anyway, every year the province sets out a list of roads which we own, but they maintain for us for a fee. And we have the opportunity to decide which, if any, of these roads we wish to have paid at a 50% cost-sharing effort. What else would you like to say about that?
Just to clarify, we don't own them. The province owns them?
But they gave them the...
No, so we don't own them. So back in 1995, 96, as part of it, actually before that, 94, 95, before amalgamation, there was a provincial municipal exchange of services. So a long time ago, municipalities used to be in the community services business, used to be more in the education business and some other parts of municipal operations. There was an exchange where the province took over full cost of community services, took over more costs of education, housing, and some of those other things. And so in exchange, at the end of the day, it was meant to be revenue neutral, so no one paid more or less. So at the end of the day, because we owed more, they allocated a certain allocation of J-class roads to us and billed us at $3,500 a kilometer, just times the number of kilometers to get to that number, so it was revenue neutral. So there's no method to the madness as far as which roads. It was just a calculation in order to get the revenue neutral. So the province still owns it, owns the roads, but they do have a program in existence where Where if the municipality wants to help fix those roads up, which are provincial roads, provincially owned, then they will consider cost sharing at 50 cent dollars. There's only $1 million in the budget provincially, and they look for $1 million contribution from the municipalities to match it. So it's not a big program. And so in the past, we've applied and been turned down. And then there have been two cases of recent memory, which are in the report, where we have received a modest amount of money to upgrade them. And so right now, the only roads that are eligible are in your package, which has a list of those roads. There is a provincial committee working right now to get rid of all this structure to make it more efficient. And so this may well be the last year that you see this actual list of roads. It'll be a very different program going forward, I expect, in the future.
Thank you, CA McNeil, for that very good explanation. Councilor Gibbon.
Where does this list come from? Like, is it that they give to us, or we have given it to them?
No, it's a provincial list. And they made it up. So as I said, we needed to get to a certain number of kilometers. So they went out and figured out where all the J-class roads in Queens County was and said 0.3, 0.2, 0.5. Cobbled them together in order to get to the number that we needed to get to in order to...
This is not that we submit and say, this is something we've got to take care of. This is something that they're telling us. Okay, understood. Thank you.
Correct. And there's no, as I said, there's no rational reason as to why certain roads are a certain distance or not. Other roads aren't on the list. It's just they made up a list of roads in Queens County to meet the number that they need to get that revenue neutral number.
There is a recommendation in the package. Perhaps if we make that and then any further discussion. Councilor Gibbon?
Do you want to make the recommendation?
Certainly.
Let the Council of Region of Queens Municipality notify Nova Scotia Department of Transportation and Infrastructure renewal that it does not wish to participate in the cost sharing program for 2021-2022.
Seconder. Councilor Charlton. Any further discussion on this matter? Councilor Fancy.
Okay, Mayor. The other streets that are there, they are called things, so they're not J class, they're what they're a different lettering, isn't it? The C or something, I don't know if you were.
If I may, Madam Chairperson, there would be other streets in Queens that are J class. There's other roads in Queens that are K class that are unmaintained. So there's all kinds of different classifications, and there would be more J class. This is just the number they needed to get to that revenue neutral number.
Okay.
So at the present time, these are the only ones eligible for cost sharing.
Right.
But as I said, there's a new program I expect will be hopefully rolled out here this winter for beginning next year, which will look very different, which will include more roads than what's just on this list.
Councilor Fancy, you wish to continue?
Since you know our roads are getting in terrible shape, and there's no question about it, especially our side roads are J class, K class, and I didn't know where my list was for the J class. So since we've just got this here on Thursday, I look at Oliver Street. Would that be something we could look at today, or are we saying well, that should have been brought in before or not? It's 3/4 of the way down on the list, because they've got some major problems.
That would be up for council to consider, keeping in mind that our budget is going to be very stretched this year.
Also, too, keeping in mind, too, there's a lot of money to be cut back from the government to subsidize our losses and things such as this year. I know that it's never a good year, never a bad year, but we've got to keep up on our roads, and we'll always be following behind.
Further comments? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the recommendation, signify by raising your hand. Contrary? Passed. Provincial Safe Restart Agreement. Basically, as we heard, the province has allotted the Region of Queens Municipality $590,735. It came with only one stipulation, that the stated amount provided to our local transit. The remaining amount is to assist us during times of lost revenue. For example, Queens Place, which And we also received word from the Municipal Administrators of Nova Scotia and the Association of Municipal Administrators who lobby on our behalf to the province for funds during this difficult time. So there is a recommendation in the package if somebody so wishes to make it. Councilor Charlton?
I move that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality approve the transfer of $25,674 to County Transit as required by the Nova Scotia State Charter Agreement for Municipalities, and further that Council authorize a contribution of $2,020.15 to Association of Municipal Administrators of Nova Scotia to be divided equally between Association of Municipal Administrators of Nova Scotia and Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities.
Seconded by Councilor Amaro. Any further discussions or any questions of CAO McNeil that you may have on this matter? And as stated, it goes to our bottom line. Councilor Neves?
The second part, Madam Mayor, and further, that 2020, what's that all about?
It's the amount that they requested.
So Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities usually hosts an annual or spring conference in the spring. They usually hold an annual conference in the fall. The Association of Municipal Administrators does the same thing, and that's where their funding comes from to pay their annual costs for their staffing and everything every year. And of course, this year they weren't able to do that, so they both have significant losses. They're both using up most of their reserve money, and so they're simply asking that we contribute a small amount. So they're asking every municipality in the province to contribute just a small amount from the money we've received from the province, because they've been the ones out lobbying on our behalf to get this, in our case, $590,000. So they're asking for a very small portion of it to help offset some of their losses.
Any other further questions regarding this motion? Not, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor, signify by raising your hand. Contrary? Passed. Creation of an Audit and Internal Control Committee 9.3. We currently have an audit committee consisting of one member of the public, two members, four members. Of all members of council. The province several years ago instituted and requested a change in that audit committee. CAO McNeil has provided very good information about the roles and the terms of reference for such new committee, and I'm going to allow him to give us a bit more information, and then we'll ask for the motion.
Sure, Mayor Norman. So as the mayor said, we currently have an audit of essentially a finance audit committee that typically meets once a year to review the financial statements or the draft financial statements with the municipal auditor. And we do have one member of the public who sits on that committee. A couple years ago, the province put in place new rules that required looking for more involvement from the public and more review of financial information of the municipality and not just simply financial statements. And so as you'll see in the proposed terms of reference for a committee, it's very comprehensive as far as what the committee will do. It's a lot of work to do, so they will review the financial statements. They'll also work with the auditor to determine what the scope of the audit will be. They'll review the management letter, which is any internal operational day-to-day staffing efficiencies or deficiencies, and work to correct those. The accounting system and internal controls, how we make sure that we safeguard the financial resources entrusted to us by the public to make sure there's no fraud, there's no inappropriate spending of money, and there's appropriate collection of money, so that's fair and transparent. Also looking at risk management, any type of alleged wrongdoing, making sure we're following all the regulatory requirements. The financial reporting and accounting rules are very strict in Canada and very strict in Nova Scotia. And our staff have to follow them very rigidly. There's very little opportunity to stray from those. We also have significant investments. We have an investment policy, but it's never been reviewed by the committee or by council, except just to approve the policy. And so the committee needs to review that to make sure that we're investing our money wisely to make sure we're maximizing interest. Banking services contract. We have a banking services contract with a local bank. That gets renewed every few years, but it's always been a staff function. It hasn't, council hasn't had any oversight of that. So we want to change that, as well as insurance coverage. We have a very comprehensive insurance coverage program for all of our assets. And in the past, it's simply been a motion of council, so we want to change that as well. So council and the public are more involved. They understand the types of insurance we have, the coverages we have, and to make sure we're maximizing the coverage we have, but also minimizing the cost premiums that we have to our taxpayers. So it's a much more comprehensive than we have today. And it will take some time to get the committee up and running and to go through all the functions and roles and responsibilities for that. But it will make council, as well as the public, much more aware of our operations and how we do things. And by changing it from mostly council and one member to the public to three members of the public and two members of council, it will increase the transparency for the public's purpose, that there is solid oversight of our operations and we do operate very financially well.
This is a good safeguard for our council. And if approved, we'll be seeking members immediately, looking for people with strong business or financial background. So there is a recommendation in the package. Councilor Romero?
I move that the Region of Queens Municipality approve the Audit and Internal Control Committee terms of reference.
Seconded by Deputy Mayor Muse. Any further questions of CEO McNeil? Councilor Gidney?
My question's a comment. I reviewed this. Initially, I didn't quite understand. What I see is this will be increase our not our control. I don't want to use the word control, but will increase our observation of exactly everything that's going on.
Yes.
I think it's a very powerful message that we're sending to the residents of the county that, you know, we are concerned what's going on, and we're going to check to make sure everything is in place, and we're doing everything we can ensure that everything is safeguarded. And I thank you for this. I think this is amazing.
And it doesn't reflect on any misdoings or anything of the past. It's simply something the province has asked to be done.
No, and I think
it hasn't been done. So
no,
yeah,
I think it's
a very good measure.
We have to keep things
right.
Safe, yes, by all means.
Any other further comments? If not, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor, signify by raising your hand. Contrary. Engineering and Public Works. Nothing to report today. 11.1 is a cost sharing agreement that was done for such roads as we had in the past, and they didn't get around to sending us the bill until late, did they, Mallory?
Until after the, yeah.
So, Mallory, do you want to make a comment on this?
It was approved for the budget for 19-20, and like Mayor Norma just said, we didn't receive the invoice until July, so the money that we, pardon?
20.
Yes.
In 2019.
Council Muse, it was last year's budget that's already been over with and gone.
2019-2020.
You said 19-20, but I thought.
So we're just asking that we can take the money to pay for this expense out of our operating reserve.
So this will not be affecting this year's budget. It'll be coming out of the operating reserve because the money that was put in last year to do this wasn't spent. So that money would have went into the reserve. So it's just simply taking that money back out. And actually, this came in less,
yes,
than what was budgeted,
yes,
for. So there is a recommendation in the package. Councilor Gidney?
I move that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality approve payment to the Nova Scotia Transportation Infrastructure Renewal for 50% of Old Port Mattoon Road paving expense of $20,011.64 from General Operating Reserve.
Seconded by Councilor Brown. Any further questions or comments? If not, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor, signify by raising your hand. Contrary, passed. Recreation and Health of the Community, nothing to report. Planning, nothing to report. There is a matter of evening council meetings, and this was a request of Councillor Charlton. So we are going to allow her to have opening and closing remarks on this matter.
Thank you, Mayor Norman. forward information with the hope to support, see evening council meetings supported. Before I ran for council, I was interested in how council works, but I didn't have an opportunity to get here, given that most of all the meetings are in the daytime. This was also something that was brought forward while I was campaigning by constituents, that they would like to change, as they're interested in attending. And we are moving towards being more accessible and inclusive here in Queens. We have accessibility and inclusion committees, which I think is wonderful. I think we need to look at that from a wider lens, and I think that extends further, and it should go out into the community. We need to be more accessible, and this also would allow equal opportunity for other people to come out. And I do understand that, as Mr. Robertson mentioned, we've done in the past, and it's not been a great turnout from the gallery, but we don't have an amazing turnout in the daytime either. For me, I think it would be about equal opportunity, just allowing, you know, other options. I looked at other municipalities to see how they meet. Shelburne meets all in the evening, 7 to 9 on Mondays, home days, 7 p.m. They alternate Tuesdays and Thursdays. Bridgewater, 6 p.m. on Mondays. Yarmouth, 7:30 every fourth Wednesday of the month, and every second Thursday they do 3:30, so they do a hybrid option. This, for me, is not just about allowing the community to come in an evening versus the daytime, but I was also told when I was campaigning that there are a lot of people in this community who would like the opportunity to run for council, and given that the fact that the meetings all happen in the daytime, they're not able to do that due to the other work commitments, so on. And I feel that the way that this is run right now is designed for mostly people who are retired, and I don't feel that it's inclusive. That's all I have.
Thank you, Councilor Charlton. So we're just going to have an open discussion to get a feel where we want to go on this. So who would like to begin? And remind you to try to keep your comments succinct and not repeat the same thing from yourself. So who's up first? Councilor Merrill.
I agree with Councilor Charlton. It would be nice. I know there's a lot of teachers and a lot of people that can't make the daytime meetings, so maybe if we do a daytime meeting 1 week and an evening meeting the next week, and that would give at least a wide range of people able to attend our meetings, become
other,
more involved.
Thank you. Other comments? Councilor Hobbs.
I do agree with Councilor Merrill that I think a hybrid thing would work best for us, right? For me, anyway.
Councilor Brown?
I would say that with the amount of travel for Councilor Hawks and myself as examples, I'd like to see a trial done during the non-winter seasons, like spring or fall. You know, if we get snow, icy roads late at night, traveling home, it is a risk for people traveling longer distances. I live in a very rural area that's very icy. I have that concern. My second concern is if we start doing council meetings in the evening, all staff members who have to report will be coming in on evenings as well. So we either will be giving them extra pay, so it's going to increase the cost to council to run the meetings, or we'll have staff who are on salary and not able to come to work the next day, so we'll have departments that are understaffed the following day. It's a consideration that we have to look at setting this up.
Thank you for your comments, Councilor Brown. Further comments? No one wishes to further comment? It's very difficult to determine from the unheard in what direction they're taking. Therefore, I suggest that I can't read it if it's a yes or a no, if they want to further proceed. So CAO McNeil, there were a few issues raised. Oh, one from Counselor Brown, and we heard from Counselor Fox, we heard from Counselor Romero, and we heard from Counselor Charlton, indicating interest and concerns. Counselor Charlton, any further comments before we give direction to CAO McNeil?
I would just agree, like, with Counselor Hawks, I think a hybrid option would be best. I do know this would come with challenges, as this would be a change for the staff, and I don't think it should be something that happens, you know, the next council meeting. I think it would require notice. And as far as the safety concern, and that's a valid concern. I wonder if there's a storm in the daytime, what does that entail for counselors that have to travel far away? Are they generally not here, or?
Generally during severe weather, this building is closed, completely closed.
And one more thing, if I could.
Counselor Fancy, we had agreed that Counselor Charlton was going to make concluding remarks, so therefore if you wish to say something now, I'll allow you to, and then Counselor Charlton can finish her remarks.
Yeah, okay, sorry, I guess a lot of us just kind of sat back quietly because I'm living close enough it doesn't affect me, so I'm saying I don't want to make a comment either way, whichever way would go. There is the concern of others who are in the country who would be that way, but again, we have to remember too, we're a municipality, and rather than towns where like Bridgewater, they would be in the town, or Shelburne be in the town, then Shelburne in the municipality, people have to travel. So it's different ways it's going to work better for some people than others. We are municipalities, we got some people who are driving longer distances, which makes it bad. Even a hybrid, I don't know how that would work for somebody who wanted to come on for council, because they can't say, well, I'll have to try to, you know, have to take next week off, and this week works good for me, the next week doesn't. So I don't know how it would work. That's what I'm saying. I'm in agreement to go forward whichever way we try. So I just want to make sure that I'm not against it.
Counselor, anyone's going to speak before Counselor Charlton concludes the remarks?
I'd just like to respond to her question about traveling in the winter. My concern was not so much traveling on a storm day, but on the roads we're on, where they're gravel roads, several kilometers of gravel roads, they stay icy all winter long. So driving at nighttime on icy roads is definitely a more of a concern than daytime on icy roads. That was my concern.
Thank you for that clarification. And now you wish to conclude?
Yes. The only other thing that I would add is from a staffing point, what I can tell from other municipalities is that the staff, they tweak their hours to accommodate these evening council meetings. They're not expected to work their 8:30 to 4:30 shift and then come in from 6 to 8 or however long that council meeting would be. That's all. Yeah.
So there's at least half interest and one that will go along with whatever. So I'm going to ask of CAO McNeil that in two council meetings from now, would that be sufficient time, CAO McNeil?
Depends what the rest of the sentence is.
To bring forward just some further information, the implications, if there's staffing costs, for example, if we don't want our directors of our departments answering phones. Therefore, perhaps there's the issue of looking at more part-time workers. If you could gather more information so we have a good idea of what the rurals do as well as the towns, and bring that back in.
If I may, it's... Yeah. The discussion really is, are you, if I can paraphrase or try to paraphrase Councillor Charlton, is The intent is not to fill the gallery, the intent is simply to be more inclusive for opportunities for all by having evening meetings as opposed to during the day, because the majority of people work during the day. If that is the decision of council, whether it's a full evening session or whether it's a hybrid session, that's the direction staff would want. The current policy states Monday, or every, the second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. And so if you wish to change that so it's a hybrid, then staff can bring forth a revised policy to do that. And so I don't get the feeling this is a pilot project. I get the feeling this is a long-term project, because it's not about about having people in the gallery. It's about the fair and equal opportunity for people. So it would be a change. And then when it gets to the staffing part of it, that's an issue that I have to deal with. And so I will deal with that. And if there's extra costs, then we'll figure that out. If there's scheduling issues, staff will figure that out. But this really today is a policy decision of council, is do you wish to have one or two meetings a month in the evening? And if that's the case, staff just need direction as to what that will be, so that we can amend the policy and bring that forth either at the next meeting or the future meeting.
So there was the discussion of the hybrid. So we wish him, A. McNeil, create a policy of a hybrid or a policy of straight evening meetings.
Just a question. I'm sorry. Is this a question you're asking now?
Just a question for discussion.
Are you able to speak at all?
Certainly may.
No, I think a hybrid would be incredible. That opportunity is good for everyone. I do have a concern about the roads at night. However, we're very fortunate here with a lot of our weather. It's been pretty good the last few years. So I think this would be a good chance to do it. And then we'll have to revisit if there's problems. But I think it's a really good idea.
Councilor Hawks?
If we do a hybrid, then yeah, that's only once a month that we would be in night, right? But you're also going to take in next council, right, to say, well, you're still going to have to do all your training, and then is there going to make a problem with our presentations in the evenings?
If I may, Chairman, or Chairperson, so some of them might be more convenient to be in the evening, but other ones the other ones will want to do it during the day. So that'll just be a staff issue with working with the mayor, that the ones that want to do it in the daytime will have to schedule their meeting, their presentation during those particular ones that are available during the daytime. And those that want to do the evening can do their presentation, we'll schedule it. If we'll just have to in the evening sessions, I would suggest we limit the presentations to one. Because if we get more than one, you'll be here 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night if you have multiple presentations. So we'll have to limit the evening presentations to one, probably.
I guess the direction and the feeling looks to be a hybrid model. Oh, Councillor Brown.
I'm wondering if we're looking at a policy change, if we want to jump right in on this, to make a complete policy change, or do we want to do a trial period to see if it works? I think it's a great idea to make it more inclusive, but do we want to run a trial period just to see if it works before we change the policy, so that we don't come back in 6 months if we find it doesn't work and change the policy back again?
I'm uncertain if we can do things against policy, because it's our current policy that dictates when they can be. And so I guess that's a question of our CAO, if we can.
Well, if council wishes, we can schedule a couple. We'd have to advertise and notify the public that we're having a couple evening meetings in lieu of the daytime meeting. So we can do that. But as I said earlier, I don't think this is a pilot, because I think we know the parameters. We know what the driving conditions are going to be like in the winter and the evenings. Some years it may be really good. Some years it may be really bad. And so I think this is a policy decision about whether you wish to have evening council meetings, regardless of the other conditions.
I don't wish to see it as a trial, because it's about being inclusive, and I think if you put a time limit on it, then it goes against being inclusive. And so I think it needs to change for the long term. The presentations, there could be presentations that don't ever even come our way because the people presenting them don't have an opportunity to come because they're in the daytime. So if we do the hybrid option, option of a daytime meeting and the next one is an evening meeting, is equal opportunity.
So we'll give this an opportunity to be made as a motion and a policy brought forward, and at that point in time, we'll have our decision and the debate and make our judgment then. And on that note, we are adjourned.
No.
No. Oh, no, we're not adjourned yet.
We need a motion.
We have one in camera either. Then we'll be adjourned.
We need a motion to go in camera.
We need a motion to go in camera. Counselor Brown moved and Counselor